My name is Aaron Fragnito. I'm with People's Capital Group. And tonight I'm going to talk about how to begin building your wealth in real estate with apartment buildings. You know, I've been helping people invest in real estate for the last 10 years. My business partner, Seth Martinez, and I have been buying apartment buildings in New Jersey here for the last decade, developed our own in-house property management company. And we've helped over 100 people invest in apartment buildings successfully here over the last decade in New Jersey. So we're going to break into that tonight, kind of explain how we do that, why we focus on these markets, why we execute a specific strategy that creates a tax-free revenue to our investors, and why we feel like this is one of the best ways to create wealth and one of the more sustainable ways to create long-term legacy wealth as well. We'll talk about kind of creating legacy wealth and the importance of that as well. So we'll tie that all in tonight and kind of speak about the qualification process. Also, I see more people are jumping on, which is great to see. Always good to see more attendees here. If you have questions as we go along, please put them in the chat or the Q&A. I'm going to answer all questions at the end here. I'll speak for about 30 minutes and I'll answer all questions. All right, let's break into it. Quick disclaimer, this is not a solicitation for funds, tax advice, or legal advice. Of course, I'll be speaking about how we help people invest in apartment buildings in New Jersey here. I'll give some examples of past performance, but this is not a solicitation for funds. Okay, so what we're going to go over tonight is, first of all, why apartment buildings? Why we prefer to invest in apartment buildings over all different types of real estate? Why we think it's the best place to invest long-term? Also, our three investment strategies for investing in apartment buildings. Key investment concepts. We'll go over some terms that all investors should really know and understand to help you make the right decision. Quick rules of thumb for apartment building investing also. I'm going to talk about legacy wealth, the importance of legacy wealth, creating good, strong, long-term legacy wealth. Then we'll talk about the process of buying mismanaged properties and renovating them and repositioning them to create value for our investors. We'll also explain how you could do this yourself and not invest passively. You can also invest actively. So there's different ways to build wealth. We'll go over the benefits of both. Of course, testimonials. Talk about some successful relationships we have with investors. Some great testimonials there from some of our many investors. So first of all, why apartment buildings? So we feel that apartment buildings are one of the most recession-resilient types of real estate you can invest in. First of all, people always need a roof over their head. So we find that when it's expensive to buy a home, when interest rates are high or the market's down, or markets in turmoil, when there's a recession going on, which you could argue is happening right now, what do people do? Well, if they can't buy a home, if they can't afford a home, are they going to sleep on a park bench? Are they going to go live in a tent in the woods? No, they're going to rent. They're going to rent an apartment. So people rent when you can't buy a home, when the recession's happening, when you're worried about losing your job. Less people buy homes, more people rent because you need a roof over your head. So therefore, you create a steady stream of income from cash flow from the property, rental income from the property, whether there's a recession happening or not. At People's Capital Group, we help you invest in real estate. Build your wealth by owning professionally managed apartment buildings in the northern New Jersey market. We want to show you how owning real estate is attainable, even for the busy professionals that don't have the time or experience investing in real estate. Now, we only work with select people who are serious about building wealth. So find out if you qualify at peoplescapitalgroup.com. Secondly, we like apartment buildings because they're scalable. Okay, so with apartment buildings, we can more easily scale up. See, Seth and I had fixed and flipped over 50 properties in our career. We were dealing with many contractors, pulling our hair out. And we said, there must be an easier way to make money in this business. And we had bought and sold a 25-unit apartment building successfully, making our investors the targeted return on that building of a 10% annualized cash-on-cash return. And we said, we made a few mistakes during that. We developed our own management company. We had fired two others and determined the best way to do is develop our own management company. And we kind of learned as we bought and renovated and resold that apartment building years ago. But we still made a great return for our investors. And we realized that when you're renovating apartment buildings, you still have a lot of other tenants paying you rent. When you're renovating a single family home, say a fix and flip, you don't have anyone else paying you rent. We were getting soaked on hard money costs and holding costs. And we just found that once we had about 12 renovations going, it was not really scalable beyond that. You can also lose money flipping houses, where in the apartment building space, we tend to see more consistent cash flow, consistent returns, and just kind of a more tried and true real estate investment strategy than flipping houses or being a wholesaler or something like that. So you continue to constantly need new deals, right? When you're flipping house or being a wholesaler. But with apartment buildings or with long-term buy and hold investing, we can find good deals through the years. We don't have to find a new one every single week like you do with fixing, flipping, or wholesaling. We also can force value into the property by increasing the rent, increasing forms of revenue on the property through storage or parking or laundry, lowering our expenses by maybe removing people from payroll, using our own management systems, or just saving costs on utilities. And there's also natural appreciation. That's inflation. I'm sure we've all heard of inflation now at this point. It's a big buzzword, of course. Owning a lot of real estate during a high inflationary period is actually a good place to be. You kind of want to be the real estate owner because in the last few years, as inflation's been taking off, well, if you owned a lot of real estate, your wealth took off as well. Same with stocks, right? Being invested in any type of asset class. Now, stocks are more volatile. You actually lost wealth in the last year in the stock market, but real estate has done quite well, especially apartment buildings, especially here at PCG. So we have natural appreciation, right? Inflation, natural market growth, where if you buy in high demand markets as we do, you tend to have natural market growth. And then you have forced appreciation, all the things we can control, you know, physical renovations to the units, leasing them out for top dollar, figuring out more ways to make income on the property. Those are forced appreciation avenues, and we can do both. We can work both of these strategies to increase value on the property and increase the cash flow to our investors and increase the amount of the big cash out refinance we do every 3 to 5 years by forcing the value up on the property and also buying in high demand markets that hold their value through time. Finally, tax benefits, right? Real estate all offers tax benefits. With apartment buildings, you can write off your cash flow with your tax depreciation, which is a great way to get tax-free cash flow. And then with the refinance, you can go ahead and you can refinance the property, harvest the equity growth as we do for our investors every 3 to 5 years. And that's a tax-free liquidity event. Why is a cash out refinance a tax-free liquidity event? Well, you're not selling the property. It's not cash flow, right? It's debt. Now, it's good debt. The bank's not going to give you more debt than the property can afford. And ideally, it's low interest debt. We're going to wait for rates to come down to refinance. And it's debt backed by a cash flowing asset in which the tenants are going to pay down that debt for years to come. So it's good debt. It's safe debt. It's not like credit card debt or unsecured lines of credit. It's good debt. And we use good debt to pay our investors and pay ourselves as well. Our investors don't have to sign for the debt. We do that, so our investors don't have to. But it's a great way to harvest your equity growth with real estate, you know, cash flowing commercial real estate, strong assets, to borrow against them and pay yourself tax-free. In fact, if you ask the billionaires of the world how they pay themselves, they don't sell their real estate. They don't sell their stocks to put money in their pocket. They wouldn't do that because they would get hit in income tax. They'd be nailed on taxes if they did that. What the wealthy do is they borrow against their assets and they use low interest debt secured by cash flowing strong assets, a large stock portfolio, an apartment building, right? You borrow against those assets and you can then pay yourself partial value of that asset without paying taxes on that cash payout. And you still own the asset. Right? You still have the apartment building. It's still cash flowing, still growing in value, still have the stock portfolio, right? Still growing in value. So you can borrow against assets, pay yourself tax-free. And that's how the wealthy pay themselves. That's how the billionaires of the world pay themselves. And that's what we bring to our passive investors who are some millionaires with seven figures with us, others school teachers with $30,000 self-directed from their IRA. So we really pride ourselves on working with the whole spectrum. But we bring this millionaire investment tax strategy to the everyday investor here at People's Capital Group. The final reason we like real estate in general is because it's tangible, right? Intangible means you can't touch it, right? Intangible tends to be a stock, right? So let's say you invest in a REIT, publicly traded REIT. That's a stock backed by real estate. You might say, well, I own REITs. I own stocks backed by real estate. So you own real estate would be the assumption. You actually don't own real estate with a publicly traded stock that's backed by real estate, a REIT, a real estate investment trust. You own a stock. You own a stock that's backed by real estate. That's great. Real estate produces cash flow, so the stock produces dividends. Real estate grows in value, so the stock can grow in value. But guess what? When the pandemic came and the stock market sank like a stone for, you know, 2 months, so did REITs. In fact, if you owned a REIT that owned office space, you lost about 80% of your stock value in a week. If you owned an office building or an apartment building, it didn't drop by 80% in a week. Real estate, commercial real estate especially, doesn't fall or grow that quickly. That's one of the things I like about it. It's not that volatile. It's not that fast moving in value. It's kind of nice. So tangible assets that you could touch, actual ownership of real estate, not a stock backed by real estate, a publicly traded REIT, but actually owning real estate, like investing in a real estate syndication such as People's Capital Group here, you actually own part of an apartment building. Now, it's better to own a small piece of a big building than 100% of a small building, because in real estate, economies of scale allow you to make better returns with bigger buildings, even if you're owning a smaller piece and sharing some of the pie with other investors and other professionals. But at the end of the day, investing in professionally managed asset with experienced professionals in high demand markets and actually owning real estate through a real estate syndication, whether it's People's Capital Group or another one, is a great way to build your wealth and actually diversify out of the stock market into actual tangible real estate that produces a steady stream of rental income, is recession resilient, is scalable and allows for forced and natural appreciation, offers a ton of tax benefits, and if structured properly, can create no additional tax burden and be a long-term form of wealth growth and income. So that's what we do here at People's Capital Group. Okay, so again, my friends, if we have any questions as we go along, please feel free to put them in the chat or the Q&A. We're going to break into three investment strategies for investing in apartment buildings now. All right, so first of all, you could do it yourself. We'll talk about that. You could partner with investors. Okay, you could be an active partner, meaning maybe you're bringing in a lot of the capital, but you're also calling the shots from day to day with other partners in the investment. Or you can partner as a passive investor, similar to how our investors partner, where they bring in the capital, they're limited to their investment amount as far as their risk. They get monthly updates telling them exactly what's going on with their property, quarterly cash flow checks, quarterly financials, showing them all the details, the detailed financials, and they can log in their investor dashboard and see exactly what's going on. This is also all emailed to them. At the end of the year, they get a K-1 tax form, just like an active owner, just like a do-it-yourself owner, but the only difference is with passive is you're not required to make the day-to-day operation decisions. In fact, you're not even allowed to. You're a non-voting owner, okay? An active partner would be a voting owner calling the day-to-day shots. And of course, doing it yourself, you're the sole person then responsible for making sure you make the right decisions. So you want to be experienced if you're going to do it yourself. Heck, you want to be experienced if you're going to be number two, an active partner as well. The only one that doesn't take experience is number three, a REIT, or also partnering on the passive side of syndication. So number three, a REIT, a real estate investment trust, can be done two different ways, okay? A publicly traded REIT, as I talked about in the last slide, is a stock backed by real estate. It's not that you shouldn't own any of this. It's just that's a stock. You're in the stock market. So there you go. You want to get out of the stock market and into actual real estate ownership, a publicly traded REIT. It's not actually true tangible real estate ownership. It's a stock in the stock market. It goes up and down with the stock market. A privately traded REIT is similar to a real estate syndication. It's just a real estate trust instead of a syndication, which is an LLC. And it gets the similar types of options to investors as far as a passive investment where you likely have consistent updates and quarterly passive payments. And it's more of a passive investment. Okay, same with a publicly traded REIT would be a passive investment. Okay, so number three is all passive. Number two, you have the option to be active or with partnering, or a passive partner in a real estate syndication, such as what we do here at People's Capital Group. And of course, number one, you could do it all yourself. We'll break into that, what that requires towards the end of the presentation here. Okay, so here's some key investment concepts. By the way, if you have any questions, again, I encourage those questions in the Q&A in the chat. So You have the general partners and limited partners. Let's start there. A general partner is what People's Capital Group is. We are operating the building day in and day out with our in-house property management company. We're deciding who we're going to lease the building to, what color to paint the lobby, what to pay for the properties, right? The due diligence. And we present a nice, well-vetted opportunity to our limited partners, our LPs. Limited partners are qualified investors. They're either accredited or sophisticated investors. And I'll go over what that term means later on. So the qualified investors, they're either self-directing funds in their IRA or solo 401k or just investing cash in the opportunity. And they own shares or units in the LLC. And based on how much they invest, of course, that's the amount of units they'll own, each unit being $1,000. So a $100,000 investment would own 100 units. So these limited partners get all the benefits of owning real estate, quarterly cash flow, big lump sums upon the refinance, tax depreciation at the end of the year to write off that cash flow. You know, the benefits of owning real estate, but they don't have to run around and be the landlord like the GPs do. General partners will look through hundreds of bad opportunities to bring their investors one well-vetted opportunity and present that to the limited partners. The limited partners tend to have about a 30 to 60 days to make a decision on if that's the right investment opportunity for them. Of course, you, as a limited partner, you want to already do your due diligence on the operator. You want to understand the business model. You want to make sure it's a fit and get qualified and get on their investor list and start looking at their deals. And ideally make a decision to take action and invest in an opportunity. And so the general partners, the operators day in and day out, the limited partners are the passive investors. Together, they make a complete syndication that allows the limited partners to bring in the cash, the general partners do the operations. Key investment concepts, cap rate, capitalization rate. That's your net operating income, your NOI, divided into your purchase price. A cap rate is a quick calculation to determine basically how much real estate you're getting for your dollar based on the cash flow of the asset. The Empire State Building, for example, is going to have a very, very low cap rate because it's a high demand piece of real estate, right? It doesn't really make a whole lot of cash flow. You don't buy the Empire State Building to make cash flow. You buy it for your wealth growth. It probably is like a 2 cap or a 1 cap. Then let's go out of New York City. Let's go down to Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's a less desirable city than Manhattan. And you're going to find higher cap rates in Atlantic City. Okay, because it's a less desirable city. Let's say you're buying an older property or a more rundown property, it's going to be a higher cap rate, okay? So cap rates could be a quick way to analyze a property, but it doesn't tell you everything because if a property is half vacant, it's going to have a low cap rate, but could have potential to be a great cap rate in time. So that's a number that's important, but it doesn't mean everything. Cash flow. You have gross cash flow, right? That's your gross rental revenue minus any lease loss or gifts to the tenants, things like that. Discounts to tenants. Then you have your net cash flow. That's going to take out all your other expenses, you know, your management, your insurance, taxes, mortgage, and all the other expenses you have running a piece of real estate, all the service providers. Your net cash flow is probably a more important number at the end of the day than your gross. We try to increase both, of course. But great ways to make income on real estate is, you know, first of all, renovating the units and leasing them up for top dollar. And renting out, you know, increasing your rent roll on the building, but also lowering your expenses and figuring out more ways to make income on the property. And that can all increase your bottom line, your net cash flow. Debt service coverage ratio, DSCR. So generally, banks are looking for a debt service coverage ratio of about 1.2%. What that means is at the end of the day, your net operating income, okay, all the income after you've paid all your expenses out, not including your debt service, not including your mortgage payment, but all the other expenses, the landscapers, the taxes, insurance, management, maintenance, and so on. That's your net operating income. Again, it doesn't include your debt service, but at the end of the day, you take your NOI, and the question is, how much does that cover the cost of the mortgage, right? So what the bank wants to see is they want to see a 1.2% debt coverage ratio, meaning your NOI is 1.2 times your mortgage payment. Okay, so you have, you know, not that your NOI is equal to your mortgage payment, you have $0 left over at the end of the month. The banks don't like seeing that. Also, some banks do allow that, but they're going to get a higher interest rate there. They generally want to see you have 1.2 debt coverage ratio, so you have a little bit of cash left over after you pay your debt service. And it's not a very, very thinly profited deal, which makes banks nervous. So that's a calculation banks use to determine the strength of a property. You won't get the mortgage for more than what the debt service coverage ratio covers. So that's a big factor you need to understand there. Gross rent multiplier. Okay, if a building makes $10,000 a year in gross rent, you multiply that times 10. Ideally, you're paying $100,000 for the building. It's a quick calculation to determine how much you want to pay for a building based on its gross rent. Not a big fan of this calculation. It doesn't take into account a lot of other factors. It's not really used that often by savvy investors. Net operating income, we've talked about that. That's your cash flow, gross rent roll minus all your expenses, not including your debt service, although in some calculations it can. So that's confusing. Due diligence. Due diligence, of course, the research we do on properties before we buy them. Due diligence can include environmental, legal, title, physical renovation, physical inspection of the property, review of leases, review of service agreements, review of collections of rents, okay, and so on. The list keeps going. Interview of the employees working within the building, the supervisor of the building, interviewing other tenants, obviously market analysis, comparable sales, comparable rentals. That's all due diligence. A good operator is going to present a nicely vetted, complete due diligence package to their investors. If they don't have that, don't invest with them. Value add strategy. This is the most important word on the slide, or three words on the slide. Value add strategy. All these other words mean nothing if you don't have a value add strategy. There has to be something you could do to the property to increase the value to it. Okay. I may have bought properties for their fair market value in the past, right? I didn't steal every property I've done. I've done 300 real estate transactions. Yes, many of them I probably paid $20 for a $20 bill. I probably paid fair market value. Right? I stole some deals in my day for sure, but more as of late, less and less. The market got hotter and hotter. But here's the thing. You can pay $20 for a $20 bill. You can pay fair market value for real estate and still do very, very well with it. I'm not saying you should buy and wait for the rent to go up and just kind of sit there and collect rent. No, we buy properties with rents way below market value. We know we can renovate the units, lease them up for top dollar. We can figure out more ways to make income on the property. We can lower our expenses. And these are all value add techniques. And we have a whole overall value add strategy to force value into the property and make that $20 bill into a $30 bill. Okay. So if I pay $20 for a $20 bill, I might put $4 into it, but now it's worth $30. So that's what we do here at People's Capital Group. We add value to the building. We force value into it through a value add strategy, which is the best way to buy real estate and the only way to buy real estate if you want to make good returns in real estate. Key investment concepts. Let's break into this here. So first of all, we have cash on cash return. Cash on cash return is quite simple. If you invest $100,000 into an opportunity, you make $10,000 in cash returns that year. You made a 10% cash on cash return. It's the cash return to you on the investment divided into the principal investment amount. So $100,000 investment, that makes $10,000 a year. It'd be a 10% annualized cash on cash return. Generally, a good cash on cash return is between 8 to 12%. Internal rate of return. Internal rate of return takes into account your tax benefits and your principal pay down. So once you're invested in real estate, if you receive a large amount of principal back on an investment and you're still making the same amount of return on investment, same cash on cash return, that could increase your internal rate of return. It also is a more accurate number to give you a more accurate understanding of what you're really making on your investment. See, if you have an investment that makes a cash on cash return of say 20%, like, whoa, this is awesome. I invested $100,000. I'm making $20,000 a year. That's a great cash on cash return. But at the end of the day, the IRS is going to say, hey, you just made $20,000 in cash flow. You might be able to write off a little bit of that with your tax depreciation, but nowhere near that amount. So you're going to have to pay capital gains tax on those earnings or income tax on those earnings, right? So it's what you keep at the end of the day. It's not what you make. Internal rate of return calculates all of that. your principal pay down, your tax benefits, and your cash and cash return. So it's a more accurate analysis of what you're actually keeping at the end of the day and your real return on investment. So an internal return, rate of return, a good internal rate of return is usually in the mid-teens. Preferred rate of return. That means the investors get paid first. Our fund is structured with a 5% preferred rate of return for an investor that invests between $30,000 and $99,000, and a 7% annualized preferred rate of return for an investment of $100,000 or greater. That means that the net proceeds from the building go to the investors first until they earn a 5 or 7% annualized cash on cash return. So preferred rate of return is a nice way to make sure our investors are getting paid first. It's also structured as an incentive for a larger investment. But it's a really nice structure because the investors get paid first all the proceeds of the property until they make that preferred rate of return. If the cash flow doesn't cover it for that year, it accrues into the next year and next year, and it gets covered at the refinance. And then once that preferred rate of return is covered, once the investors earn a 5 or 7% annualized return on their investment, what's left over is split up 70-30 based on equity ownership. That's the fourth thing here, equity ownership. So in our funds, we're generally doing a 70-30 equity split, 70% going to the investors and 30% going to People's Capital Group. So the first thing that happens is the cash and cash return goes to the investors based on the preferred rate of return. The cash flow from the property goes to the investors based on the preferred rate of return. The proceeds from the refinance go to the investors based on their preferred rate of return. And once that preferred rate of return is covered, once it's accomplished, what's left over is split up 70-30 with 70 going to the investors, 70% going to investors, 30% going to People's Capital Group. Overall, our investors should expect to make a 10 to 12% annualized cash on cash return with our fund. That's our target return on investment, 10 to 12% annualized cash on cash return. We've accomplished two times that. We've accomplished a 24% annualized cash on cash return historically. We've also, I think the worst we've done is a 10% annualized cash on cash return, which was our target. So you have to understand at the end of the day, the cash on cash return, internal rate of return, preferred rate of return, and equity ownership. These are important concepts and terms that all passive or active investors should understand before investing in an opportunity or with an operator. And your operator should be able to explain this so you completely understand it. Guys, by the way, if we have questions, I feel free to put them in the chat. Also, I'm going to put a link at the end for to schedule a call with me. So if you have more questions, we can always schedule a call and really answer your questions there as well. In the bottom part here, real estate syndication equals legacy wealth. So we'll break more into that, but essentially the idea here is a real estate syndication allows for a completely passive investment. And if you look at how the wealthy create more wealth, they don't buy assets they have to manage, right? Think about Elon Musk or something like that. Or think about the guys from Shark Tank, right? They're not buying investments they need to manage day in and day out, right? If they invest in a candy shop on Shark Tank, they're not going to go to the candy shop every day and be behind the counter or stocking the shelves. Of course not. They're going to be basically a passive investor, you know, where they're kind of getting updates consistently. They may have voting rights, but at the end of the day, investing passively, not being required to do the day-to-day operations of the business or of the property, is the most important thing. A lot of people that invest with People's Capital Group own 5, 10, 15 apartments, units, a couple different duplexes and triplexes throughout areas where they live or maybe out of state. And what happens is around 15 to 10 units, they start to realize they're dealing with tenants and toilets a lot more than they'd like to. So it basically becomes a full-time job. And they say, you know what? I like real estate. I understand real estate. I like the returns of it, but I just can't run around and be a landlord all the time. It's not a good use of my time. And it's frustrating. It's a thankless job. So a lot of those active real estate investors do end up investing passively, and that's a great way to build your wealth exponentially. So keep that in mind. If you're looking to build wealth faster, passive real estate investing is a way to accelerate your wealth a lot faster. And by having real estate being invested in real estate syndications, you can create true legacy wealth, which is wealth that grows whether you're here to build it or not. Legacy wealth is passive wealth you can hand down to your heirs. It's not buildings that need to be managed. It's not a business that you only know how to manage and you think you're going to hand it down to your heirs to be managed. It's not a duplex seven states away. They got to manage the management company or figure out what to do with non-cooperative tenants. It's a completely passive investment that requires no responsibility and can be handed off to heirs that are incompetent or simply used to build legacy wealth long-term. And that's a very, very important thing when you're looking to hand down legacy wealth, because if something happens to you and you can't manage your assets, you want to make sure you're structured so your assets are passive and can be handed down properly to your heirs or to your estate. All right, let's talk about quick rules of thumb for apartment building investing. So we have actuals versus pro forma. Actual numbers are what the building is actually doing right now, right? So what it's actually collecting in rent, what it's actually paying for expenses, what the renovated units are actually achieving in a rental price. Pro formas, which your operator is going to research and project. It should be based on actuals. It should be based on actual market comps, a pro forma number. It should be based on actual scopes of work or quotes from service providers. So pro forma numbers should not be pulled out of the air. They should be based on real data and actual data that we're referring to, but they haven't been achieved yet. Your operator is saying, hey, the building's doing this right now, which is not very impressive. Here's the actual returns right now, the actual cash flow and so on. But here's the pro forma. Here's what we could be renting the units for. Look here, look at these rental comps. Here's what the building could be valued for if we increase the rent. Look at these sale comps. Okay, here's what the building, here's how we could lower the expenses by doing these five things, right? So there's lots of ways to determine your pro forma numbers. You want to make sure your operator knows exactly how they're getting to those numbers, those pro forma numbers. And, a pro forma is very important, but it should be based on reality and not some pie in the sky number, which I see operators do sometimes, which again, if they're being too optimistic with the pro forma, oh, nothing's going to go wrong, or tenants are all going to cooperate, or the market's not going to, inflation is going to stay high, prices are going to keep rising. If you have an operator that has a very optimistic, rosy picture in their pro forma, that might not be the right operator for you, because you want to be pessimistic in your pro forma. You want to be conservative. You want to assume what can go wrong will go wrong, because quite frankly, in life, that's kind of how things go. So you don't want some like happy-go-lucky, optimistic operator that never took it on the chin in this business. You want someone who's kind of taking their hits, knows what's probably going to happen in reality, projects a pretty conservative picture in the pro forma based on real market data, but conservative all around. And that's a good operator that's going to project conservative pro forma numbers. That's what we focus on doing here. Okay, let's talk about low cap rate versus high cap rate. So a low cap rate property, like I was saying earlier, could be in a high demand market. Okay, could be a newer construction. High demand location, right? Different types of properties will have low cap rates. Okay, that means they're more expensive properties and more desirable properties in comparison to the cash flow they're earning. Where a high cap rate property is going to be in a less desirable area, might have more deferred maintenance, would be an older property, and it's making more cash flow for the price they're asking. So you're getting more real estate for your dollar, ideally. However, you got to really dig into this. I sometimes like to buy low cap rate properties because when I increase the rent on a low cap rate property, it increases the value of the building much more exponentially, just because the formula to determine the value of a commercial building based on its cash flow is based on the cash flow divided into the cap rate. So if you divide into a higher number, you're going to get a lower valuation. Right. If you divide into a higher cap rate, where you're going to get a lower valuation, where when we buy low cap rate buildings and we improve the cash flow of them, it's an exponential increase to the property value, much more than a high cap rate property. Another thing I like about low cap rate properties is they tend to be in desirable markets. Okay, so we buy properties generally within a 5-6 cap in North Jersey high demand markets. Now, we could go to sleepy, lesser-known markets and get more real estate for our dollar, maybe be buying 6-7 caps there. But we got to look at the market long-term and also understand our value-add strategy is more influential and more of an exponential growth on the property when we're actually buying in low cap rate markets versus high cap rate markets. By the way, this topic right here is a little in depth for this presentation. If you don't fully understand it, the best thing to do is schedule a call with me. I see more people jumping on here as well. So you know what, while we're at this point, I'm actually just going to put in the chat also this link here, schedule a call with me, Aaron Fragnito, if you're confused about anything I'm talking about here. Okay, let's talk about value add plus cash out refinance and how that equals tax-free income. So value add, we talked about that. That's taking a mismanaged property with value to add to it, renovation of the units, improved management. Okay, you know, rents below market value. You can renovate the units, lease them up for top dollar, increase the rent roll. When we do that value add, we allow ourselves to do a cash out refinance, right? Buy the property for a discounted price. We do a bunch of things to the property, renovations, improved management over about a 3 to 5 year time. And then we harvest that equity growth, you know, we force the value up on the property. We create more equity, right? Equity is the value of the property minus the debt. The debt gets paid down by the tenants as years go on. The value of the property grows as years go on. So we're creating more of a delta there, more equity in the property. As we create more equity, we harvest that equity growth with the cash out refinance and pay our investors a tax-free lump sum of cash. And that's our favorite strategy in this business. And that's why we do it, because it creates tax-free revenue to our investors every 3 to 5 years. Okay, let's talk about legacy wealth. So our goal for our investors is to build legacy wealth for them. A couple things separate us from other real estate funds. First of all, we invest strictly in New Jersey. We've been doing this for over a decade. My business partner and I have done over 300 transactions in New Jersey. We stick to what we know. We have an in-house property management company. And a lot of people like us because they know the cities we're investing in. Newark, New Jersey, Patterson, Rahway, Bayonne. They know these cities. They've seen them flourish. They want to get in on that wealth growth. So secondly, we don't kick you out of our fund. You can invest in our buildings indefinitely. The way we do this is we buy the building for a discounted price. We pool capital together from investors. We select qualified investors to participate in the opportunity. We have more investors than we do opportunities. The hardest part's finding a good deal, New Jersey here. Once we find that opportunity, we buy, renovate, refinance over time. We'll do that 3 to 5 times over about a 10 to 15 year period. And we aim to get back half of our investors' capital at each refinance. That does not dilute their ownership, by the way. And they have the option to exit at each refinance and take back their initial principal and exit the investment and pay capital gains tax. Most investors opt to keep their principal invested, keep getting quarterly cash flow checks, keep getting a large lump sums upon the refinance every 3 to 5 years. And then ultimately down the road, we're going to sell the building through a 1031 tax deferral, defer all taxes, trade into a bigger property, build our investors' wealth exponentially by trading into a bigger property, deferring all wealth. Again, that's a tax tool that billionaires use. And we bring this tax tool to our investors, and we execute this billionaire wealth strategy for everyday investors at People's Capital Group. And that's one of the things we really pride ourselves on. So we're never going to kick you out of the fund. We're never going to buy you out. You have the options to exit every 3 to 5 years, the refinance, but it's nice to have that flexibility. But the best investment strategy is to keep that principal invested, keep earning quarterly cash flow, which is written off with tax depreciation, large lump sums upon the refinance every 3 to 5 years. It's tax-free. And build that legacy wealth and invest in new opportunities as they become available. Take that big check on the refinance, put it into another opportunity, People's Capital Group, plant another seed, grow that tree, harvest that tree. And that's how you build true legacy wealth and exponential wealth over time, by reinvesting the proceeds into new opportunities. Of course, we talked about how it's a tax-free investment structure, truly diversified out of the stock market. This is not a REIT, not a stock backed by real estate. It's true, true diversification out of the stock market. You're owning one building. If you're invested in another building, you're invested in another fund, right? So each fund owns one building. Log on to your investor dashboard. You see your investments, how they're performing, monthly updates on each property, quarterly financials. And then, of course, you want to pass your wealth to future generations, right? Maybe you don't have kids. Build libraries. Do what the Rockefellers did. Maybe your kids don't deserve the money. Build library. Do something you have a passion for, right? Give back. I like World Vision. I like to donate to World Vision and support kids in third world countries that have very, very little opportunity. I love to give to World Vision. So, you know, whatever your nonprofit is that you like that meets, aligns with your interests, donate. It feels great to donate. Donate to your church or your synagogue. You know, it just feels so nice to be able to donate in the ways we want to and be a philanthropist. And that's why I like creating legacy wealth and large amounts of wealth, because I want to be a philanthropist. That's such an amazing thing to be in this world. And finally, estate planning. So you want to talk to an estate attorney. You want to have good estate planning. If you don't have a good estate planning, talk to us. We can help connect you to the right estate attorney. The process. So let's go into this. We'll wrap up here in a couple of minutes. We'll open up for questions then. I see more people jumping on. Always good to see. And first of all, you could do it on your own, right? You can buy real estate on your own, hire a realtor, hire a management company. We'll go into that. The challenges there as well. You can also work with a real estate syndication, which is what we are here at People's Capital Group. So do it yourself, DIY. You want to work with realtors, do direct mail marketing to landlords, build out a professional team, including contractors, property managers, lenders, legal attorneys, real estate agents, insurance agents, and so on, all the service providers required to manage your real estate. Spend at least 500 to 1,000 hours learning the real estate industry and educating yourself. And then you want to learn a market as well. Analyze hundreds of properties and make dozens of offers a week or at least monthly. We'll make about 400. We'll review 400 deals to find one. Again, we'll review 400 properties to buy one property. There's a ridiculous amount of work to source a good opportunity in a high demand market. And that's just the beginning. Then we have to manage it and reposition it, of course. And then, of course, I manage daily management company and contractors long term. That's about 50 to 60 hours a week. Personally guarantee the loan as well. Or you can invest in a real estate syndication where it's done for you. This tends to be a better fit for people that work a full-time job. First of all, you have to be qualified to invest. You have to be a sophisticated or accredited investor. An accredited investor is someone with a net worth of $1 million, not including their primary residence, or an income of $200,000 individually, or $300,000, including their spouse. Most real estate funds only accept accredited investors. I didn't like that because that means you can only accept millionaires. And a lot of people out there are not millionaires. And if we can't accept them into our fund to make strong double-digit returns, how are they going to become a millionaire, right? So we structured our fund to accept sophisticated investors as well. Sophisticated investors, someone that has experience investing in real estate. Maybe they own a home or they've researched multiple investment opportunities in real estate. They don't need to live on the returns of the investment. They have ample savings, you know, beyond the $30,000 minimum investment amount. They have ample income. They have a job, right? They don't need to live on the returns of the investments. So that's a sophisticated investor. Most people that have been working in a job for 20 years or so qualify as a sophisticated investor. They've put together a decent IRA of $50,000 to $100,000 or so, and they want to self-direct, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 of that into apartment building People's Capital Group. Or investors that have millions of dollars in their IRA, or other investors that have seven figures and just cash investments with us. It doesn't really matter. We work with multi-million dollar investors, doctors, lawyers, business owners. We work with school teachers and firefighters and police officers that invest $30,000 in as much as they can in every opportunity they see with us, or whenever they get a big payout from another investment, they're able to invest in us. So we really pride ourselves in working with the whole spectrum of all types of people. We're People's Capital Group. So we help people invest in real estate where they normally wouldn't have the opportunity to invest, and because we find off-market opportunities, or don't have the time and experience to invest properly. And we have a nice infrastructure in place so they can invest successfully without having the experience or the time to do it on their own. So of course, a real estate syndication is going to bring a well-vetted real estate opportunity to you. Okay, syndicate manages everything from A to Z. They should send you monthly updates and quarterly financials and be very, very communicative. That's a very important thing when you're investing in an operator. How well do they communicate? How often they communicate? Did they give documentation to back up communications, right? Investors earn the same benefits from real estate as doing it yourself, but without having to do the work, which makes a lot of sense if you're working a 9-to-5 or even more, because quite frankly, 9-to-5 these days are more like 8-to-6s. Mine's more like an 8-to-9 sometimes, right? And that's how business owners operate. And of course, properties eventually sold or refinanced for a large liquidity event and create long-term passive income, which we already talked about. Here's a little bit about Seth Martinez and I. So I got started in 2010 here. We've done over 300 real estate transactions together. I speak at RIAs on a monthly, weekly basis. I'm normally speaking at an event about once a week. We have a weekly podcast. We have monthly webinars. We have monthly in-person networking events. Our next one is May 16th at the 902 Brewing Company in Jersey City. I taught and wrote a class called Real Estate Entrepreneurship at Rowan University. I also graduated from there years ago as an entrepreneur major. And I really enjoy helping people invest in real estate. I'm more forward-facing, working with clients and investors. I've raised over $10 million in private capital. Seth Martinez handles more of the operations into the business. He's a full-time real estate investor here at People's Capital Group, the other owner of People's Capital Group. We own the company 50-50. Seth's been in business for over 20 years. He had sold a medical billing company in 2009. He was very liquid. I was a realtor and was good at finding deals. So we started buying real estate together and realized we worked together very well. We've built up now to over 150 units and about $25 million in real estate portfolio value. So Seth handles the due diligence, oversees the property management company, 20 years of entrepreneurship in real estate and healthcare. And he started real estate in 2011. Here's some recent performance. There's a 25 unit in Paterson, New Jersey with a target 11% cash on cash return. Here's a 27 unit in Rahway, New Jersey with a target 11% cash on cash return. And we are ahead of schedule on both of these projects. Here's an example of a property we cashed out of. We achieved a 24% annualized cash on cash return. That was 2x our initial targets. So that's one of the best we've done. We did another one last summer at a 16% annualized cash on cash return to investors. And the worst we've done is a 10% annualized cash on cash return to investors, which was the targeted return. You can see the different cities we buy in: Paterson, Rahway, Newark's a good one as well. Here's some testimonials. We have over 100 satisfied investors. About 9 out of 10 of investors reinvest over time with us, which is a great strategy to build wealth exponentially. Here's Frank B., four-time investor. My investments have been on point. I like not having to manage the properties. Here's Tim C., six-time investor. I continue to grow my investing relationship with Seth and Aaron. They are great, have a great history of buying properties at a good price and offering value. Gary C., seven-time investor. My confidence in Seth and Aaron have been rewarded with professionalism, wise investments since I started investing with them in 2014. Robert, eight-time investor. I've invested numerous times in People's Capital Group over the last 6 years, and I'm happy with my investments. Here's Rita, three-time investor. Very satisfied with my investments at PCG. I've been able to sell my rental property and loan longer, be a landlord, yet I'm still making money in real estate thanks to People's Capital Group. And here's Chris Salerno, six-time investor. I've been investing in People's Capital Group for nearly 5 years now. Cannot be happier with the process and the returns of my investment. Aaron, Seth, and their team have been great to work with. They're like clockwork in their updates, communications, payments, a great company. So that's it for me tonight. Aaron Fragnito, People's Capital Group. I see more people have jumped on here. I put in the chat a link to schedule a call with me. So that's the best way to determine if you're qualified to invest in our fund and answer your questions as well. I don't see any questions here from our viewers. So that's a good sign. That means I did my job right. You can go to peoplescapitalgroup.com. You can learn more about our company there. Take a look at some of our past performance as well. We have multiple eBooks up on our website. We have weekly podcasts, tons of blogs, educational webinars as well, dozens of them up there. So go to peoplescapitalgroup.com. Start clicking around. Start learning more about how we help people invest in real estate. Now, we do have limited spots on our investments. The spots fill up very quickly. The way you get to review those investment opportunities is by setting up a call with me, Aaron Fragnito. So that's the first step. We have to have a discovery call for you to even look at an offering. I can't even send you an offering until you schedule that discovery call with me. So I put the link in the chat. Click that link now. That's going to bring you to my calendar, and you can schedule a call with me, Aaron Fragnito, over the next few days. It's about a 15-30 minute phone call here. We're going to talk about your investment goals. I'll answer your questions, explain more of our structure here about how we help people invest in real estate. Make sure you're qualified. And if you are, then I can give you access to our investor dashboard. And you can take a look at upcoming investment opportunities. So That's where it all starts. I put the link in the chat. Okay. My schedule fills up very quickly, often after these webinars, especially. So I see a lot of people here are on the webinar. So click that link now, schedule that call with me, and let's start building our wealth exponentially together in high demand North Jersey real estate. That's it for me tonight. Enjoy your day.